I speak to you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Good morning. A few years ago, when I was still in seminary, my daughter Sarah called up. Sarah was at the time working at Tulane University in the kind of in the student affairs office. And the freshman class had just arrived on campus for orientation. And so her office was responsible for, you know, setting up things and helping the students get moved in and orientation done and that kind of thing. But at the time, Hurricane Katrina was aiming right smack dab for New Orleans. Now, as we all know now, Hurricane Katrina was probably the worst natural disaster, at least in many, many, many years. But her question was, should she stay in New Orleans and stay in the storm shelters that the university had set up? Or should she evacuate and go to a friend's house who lived about an hour north of New Orleans? I got to tell you, I was pretty terrified. And I said, go. Whatever you need to do, go. And so she packed up a couple of pairs of shorts and a couple of t-shirts, and she drove the hour up to stay with her friend. And she only expected to be there a few days. Of course, the storm, you know, hurricanes, how long can it possibly last? But as she was staying there, she came to understand that she would not be going back to New Orleans anytime soon. The city was underwater. There was no electricity. There was no fresh water. There were thousands of people staying in shelters. The streets were being patrolled not only by the police and the National Guard, but by gangs and looters. And we decided that it was time for her to come home to Columbia. And although we knew it was the right thing, I have to tell you that that prospect was also terrifying. Because basically we were asking our young 20-something-year-old daughter to drive all the way across the country by herself. She had no one else to go with her. And all that we could think of was that there were the long lines at the gas stations and the restaurants, and who knows what other dangers might hold. All that Rindy and I could do was to wait and to pray that she arrived safely at home. The Spirit holds us, helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. That very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. There's an old saying that goes, there are no atheists in foxholes. And what that means is that when we are terrified, when we have no place to turn, we still turn our hearts and minds to God in prayer. In our fear and in our weaknesses, we don't always know exactly the right things to say. We can't control our emotions or our fear. Still, through all of that, the Spirit comes to our aid, even when words fail us. God remains faithful, even when we can't find the words to express our deepest and darkest fear. In today's epistle reading, Paul is talking to the small band of Christians who were in Rome at the time. Time that was surely of great stress and fear for them. And he says, even now, even with all that's going on around you, we remain bound to God through the love of Christ. For who will separate us from the love of Christ, he says? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No. In all these things, we are conquerors, more than conquerors, through him who loved us. Fear is a perfectly natural emotion that God has actually instilled in us and given us to protect us. When we're afraid, we become more alert to the things that are going on around us. Our heart beats more rapidly, pumping more blood and oxygen to our muscles so we can either fight or flee. Our brain pumps adrenaline so that we become hyper aware of what's going on around us. Our fears are a protection mechanism and a survival mechanism, and they guard us in times of stress and danger. At the same time, our fear often shuts down our rational way of thinking. It gets in the way of our relationships with one another and with God. Now, Paul knew something about fear. He had traveled all over the world for the sake of the gospel. He had given up his life of status and honor, both as a Roman citizen and as a pretty high-ranking Jew in the community, all for the sake of Christ. And still he says, what can separate us from the life of Christ? Absolutely nothing. Not the hardships of life, not the things that cause us to worry about the future, not persecution for what we believe or what group we belong to, or the way that other people categorize us or pigeonhole us. Not the fear of our ability to put food on the table or a roof over our heads, clothes for our children. Not crime in the streets or even war. None of these can separate us from the love of Christ, the one who died and was raised for us again. I know that many, many of us in this room have experienced these and even other fears. The fear that comes from a cell that's gone haywire, causing cancer in our body. The fear from being unable to work and earn a living and pay our bills. The fear that someone we love might leave us, either through death or divorce. The hardships of our personal life aren't the end of it. Over the past few weeks, we've heard of innocent people being shot down in airplanes over the Ukraine. We've heard of Christians literally being crucified in Iraq for what they believe. And we've heard of children fleeing their homes in Central America only to be turned away at our border. Through this and through so much more, God remains faithful, no matter what. Through disease, divorce, depression, death, through feelings of inadequacy and failure, through torture and terror, God stands by us, carries us. The Spirit intercedes for us. God's love is stronger than any of our fears. One of the most uplifting parts of this passage of Scripture is something that we often hear at a funeral service. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of Christ Jesus. What would we attempt if we really believed that God will never abandon us, that we could not fail? What might happen if we took the energy that our fears consumed and redirected it and turned it toward building the kingdom of God? How might our lives be transformed if we looked deep inside our hearts and called out our deepest fears by name and offer them up to God? How might we transform the life of another person if we simply told them that God loves us, all of us, forever, and that nothing, not anything, can separate us from the love of God? Thanks be to God.